The Gospel is from Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The word of the Lord.
Leave it to the Bible to be encouraging of the pastor before a sermon. I was noticing in the Deuteronomy, if the prophet speaks a word that's not true, he shall die. So I was thinking, okay, no pressure when I'm preaching sermons, but I always try to tell the truth at least. So getting into it, generally speaking, I believe in the power of positive thinking and taking the initiative in life because it's a much better strategy in life to engage things with optimism and drive than it is to engage life with like cynicism and despair. And I think the reason it's so important to engage it positively is that both optimism and cynicism tend to be self-fulfilling. Researchers once did an experiment with some kids where they wanted to look at the way that mindset can affect academic performance in underprivileged children. And so these researchers took some kids and they divided them into two groups. They were all kind of underprivileged. And the first group, they told that poor children tend to do badly on this quiz. Mean thing to say, but they told these kids this. And the second group of kids, they informed them that poor children tend to do very well on this quiz. And then they gave them the same quiz. So guess what happened? The kids that were told that they would probably test badly tested not very well. The kids who were told that they would probably test well tested much, much better. And so what does a study like this show? It shows that mindset matters. And again, that, you know, it's a good thing. It's a healthy thing for us to be able to engage life with optimism and self-belief. But I think it also shows something else. It shows sometimes that to have power, we need to be empowered by something outside of ourselves, right? The kids were the same in both experiments, but one had a word from the outside that was empowering, and the other had a word from the outside that was depowering, that was against their power. And this is the other side of the coin, you know, of, you know, being hardworking and positive. You know, sometimes optimism and hard work can be a good thing, but sometimes they're not enough. Sometimes a challenge we meet is too big for us, and without help from something outside of ourselves, we're powerless. And we all eventually encounter a problem like this in our lives. Maybe it's in school where we encounter an assignment that's too much for us by ourselves. We need help from someone. I think for me, you know, I was never good at math. I'm just awful at it. I was pretty good at lots of subjects, but math was not mine. If you put me in a room for a million years and said, "Come up with algebra," there would never be algebra in the world because I can't do it. Maybe it's a time of crisis, like a medical emergency. Maybe it's a house fire. Maybe it's a crisis of self, you know, this moment when your life is turned upside down and we realize we need help. But sooner or later, we all meet these problems which are too big to solve on our own. And you know, in some sense, our spiritual lives, all of our spiritual lives, are one of these places where actually we don't have what it takes to succeed on our own. The power we need to find abundant spiritual life, to find eternal life, is something that's just not there if we only rely on ourselves. We can look at our gospel from today for an example. In this story, Jesus encounters someone who's possessed by an unclean spirit, and we don't know how this person got possessed. We don't know if they did something wrong to be possessed or if they're just an unlucky victim. But what is apparent is that the person in this story, the person with the unclean spirit, is imprisoned by something that they have no power to overcome by themselves, right? There's no escape if they can only rely on themselves. And in fact, if we look at this whole story, the possessed man is entirely passive, Jesus is always the actor in what happens. Jesus sees the man and his hurt. Jesus confronts the demon and forces it out. Jesus brings the power of healing, and the man who is healed basically has nothing to do with it at all. And you know, I think truthfully, if we look at stories like these in the Bible, for many of us, they seem kind of strange, right? What exactly is demonic possession? Is it literally talking about demons, evil spirits? Or is it a metaphor for some kind of imprisonment of another kind, maybe something like addiction or mental illness? Well, as I ask this question, I'm not going to answer it for you because I really can't. I don't know the exact answer. There are differing views about what these kinds of possession are talking about in the Bible. Some very intelligent and thoughtful Christians say, you know, these are ancient ways of speaking about conditions that weren't understood. Again, things like mental illness, things like addictions, things like, you know, just being captured by evil. So that's one way to think about it. Other Christians who I greatly respect talk about experiences they've had through other people, through themselves, of something that looks a lot like literal possession. Like I said, I don't know the answer of what exactly these texts are talking about with possession. And in one sense, I don't think it really matters how we cut this. Because the one thing that is for certain is that people in this world do experience imprisonment to things like evil and suffering and destructive behavior and thoughts. They experience them all the time. I mean, talk to someone who's struggled with substance abuse issues, and they know this experience well of being imprisoned by something. In this last week, we had yet another school shooting in Kentucky. Two kids died, 18 were wounded. And by the way, these are so common in our society that I noticed, and some people have pointed out, that it barely made the news. It was news for like a day, and then we moved on. Wasn't even a big deal because it happens so often. And so we look at these poor young kids who get into this, who end up being shooters, and obviously there's some sort of possession, imprisonment to evil, but it's clearly not them either, because we have more than other countries. So our society has some sort of problem where we're creating shooters like an assembly line. I mean, again, talk about imprisonment to evil on a societal level. And even without getting into these big dramatic things, we all know, not just, you know, people who end up shooting, but we all know what it means to be possessed by destructive patterns of thought and behavior, right? That's part of the human experience. That's the whole sin and brokenness thing that we're always talking about in the church, and we talk about it because it's real, because all of us struggle with it. And sometimes we struggle as victims, it happens to us, and other times we're the culprits, but we all know these destructive patterns well. For some of us, it's an inner voice that we don't invite, but it's there, that tells us that we're worthless. For some of us, it's a pattern of negative relationship, a conflict, a snipping, an ungracious thought that we have towards another person that we can't seem to pull ourselves out of. For some, it's gossip or even a willingness to bully someone. Maybe it's an addiction to a substance, to pornography. Or maybe sometimes it's an addiction when we feel kind of empty or bored to buying yet more stuff that we know we don't need. And what do we call these destructive thoughts and behaviors? We call them our personal demons, right? And we all struggle with them in one way or another. And in some sense, they all drive us to places that we don't really want to go if in our best selves. And when it comes to our personal demons, it's really, really hard to change, right? They become kind of part of us. They become hardwired in our brains, in our way of thinking, in our pattern of acting. And eventually, this sense of powerlessness can creep in, where we encounter demons in our lives that we don't completely have the power to beat. They seem to drive us. And if this makes you feel like a bad person, remember that when you look in the Bible, even the famous saints of the Bible struggled with this. St. Paul has a famous line in one of his writings where he says, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do the things I want to do, and I do the very thing that I hate." Well, it's in these moments of powerlessness that we can be thankful that the Christian story is not always about our action. First and foremost, the Christian story, the gospel of Christ, is about God's action in Jesus Christ. It's about a God who promises that healing is coming someday. Healing from demons, healing from sin, healing from pain and illness, healing even from death. Jesus says healing is coming. Excuse me. And sometimes our job, maybe not all the time, but sometimes our job is to essentially be passive, like the man who was healed in our story today. Sometimes the best thing we can do is not try to do for ourselves, but to let God work on us, to let God heal us and change us and renew us, to invite God to be the one that acts on us. Yes, we hear today that in Christ, healing is coming. But again, on the point of being truthful, to be honest, the healing we experience in this life is always incomplete, right? We don't want to get our hopes too much up. It's never the full deal yet. It's always a partial healing, and sometimes it doesn't come when we want it. Sometimes we have to wait a long time. Sometimes it's even just a little bit of healing and other things we have to struggle with in life. It reminds me a little bit of Sam's Club, if any of you have been there, where you go around and maybe some of the samples aren't very good, but some of them you really like, but it's ultimately just a little sample. It's not going to fill you. It's just going to remind you of something that you could have later. Well, this is what it's like in our spiritual healing in life. We get partial healing, but it's always a reminder of the true healing that we'll have someday when we're completely with God. And that's neither to be negative and say that we can't find profound healing in our life through God in this world, because people are healed in amazing ways all the time. You know, with God's help, many people beat their addictions. With God's help, many people develop a deeper sense of self-worth. With God's help, many people become less selfish and live more meaningful, rich lives. So, of course, we have hope in this life, too, through the gospel of Christ. But we also remember that these kinds of healings are always partial. You know, it's worth remembering that even the man in this story who was healed of the possession, even he was not healed in every way, we have to assume, right? I'm sure after his healing of possession, he still had problems and imperfections in life. And in fact, I'm sure he still died eventually, right? His life was not going to be perfect. But it was a reminder of what was going to come. And one day, Jesus the healer will return for all of us to finish what he started in each of us. And on that day, it won't be our action that matters. It'll be God's actions that matters. And that's good news when we look at our flawed selves, that God is the one that's going to make the world spin and heal us. So to summarize, it's good to be active, it's good to be positive in life, and it's good to be active and positive in our faith. And in many ways, we can do the faith. Faith is something we can do. We can pray, we can worship, we can learn more about Jesus and grow. We can give to other people of ourselves and of our time and of our treasure. We can share God's word. But we also give thanks today that ultimately the destiny of the world and the destiny of our lives is not up to us. It belongs to Christ. God is in control. Amen. Let's rise as we continue in song. Thank you.
Join me in confessing our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take a moment and share that peace with one another. I'd like to lift up just a few announcements. We're always grateful for gifts received. The radio broadcast, we're able to share our service this morning with the broader community because it was given in memory of Julius and Alta Burzloff, given by their families. Today, the annual meeting follows the second service, so we invite you to come back and transact the business of our church to keep us moving forward this coming year. Between services, we continue our video on a video on Martin Luther, so join us for that. And Lent is coming up very shortly, the beginning of February, February 14th. So we kick that off with a chili cook-off, so be working on your recipes for that. And we also have a silent auction, and we count on you for donations for that. So if you have some gift basket or some gift card or some little handmade thing that you want to donate for that, please get that into us. I think those are all the announcements I'm going to lift up today so the ushers can receive our offerings.
We
Let us pray. Bright morning star, your light has come, and your presence fills us with joy. May we gladly offer our gifts so that the light of your presence may brightly shine through our dark world. Amen. Gracious and loving God, free us from our demons, from our fears, our anger, our resentment, our jealousy, our ignorance, from whatever it is that stops us from doing the things that hurt ourselves and others. May your strong power free us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, may your strong power heal us, too, to be our true self, to be able to actually love and serve others because we love and serve you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, we lift up our church, our ministry, the many ways that we grow in faith, the many ways that we touch people's lives. Be with us at our annual meeting today to make decisions that are pleasing to you as we look towards the future. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we pray for families. We ask that you would keep them free from bitterness, from pride, and fill them with faith, knowledge, virtue, patience, and godliness. Knit them together in an affection that is real. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we remember the faithful departed. With affection, we remember our departed friends and relatives. Keep them in union with you through faith and love. And let us look forward to our reunion. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, as we look around us, we see people who are hurting, sometimes in body, sometimes in their spirit, sometimes in their emotions. Let your healing spirit be with them now. We lift them up to you in love in the quiet of this moment. Lord, in your mercy. Now, all these things and whatever else that you see that we need, gracious Father, grant to us for the sake of him who died and rose again, and who now lives and rules with you in the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lift your children, pray.
Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. And deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Now may Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless you now and always. Amen.
Serve the Lord.